Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December the 29th, 1984. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Norman Parrish of Guatemala is the speaker of the evening.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of December the 29th, 1984, with Norman Parrish. This is tape 2 of 2 tapes of the Saturday evening service.
And every trace of power and glory that had ever existed in the church disappeared down through the Middle Ages. Now, the Restoration started with Luther and with Calvin and with all these great reformers. But, brother, the Restoration is not ended yet. How many believe that? You think deliverance is the end? You poor, benighted soul. Deliverance is not the end. I've been tempted to preach a message on deliverance and sonship. The only purpose of deliverance is to lead you into sonship. There can be no sonship without deliverance. And it's sad to say a lot of sonship people reject deliverance, and a lot of deliverance people reject sonship. Did you know that? You just read Galatians chapter 4, and you'll find the relationship between deliverance and sonship. Especially if you read the Revised Standard Version, or you read the Amplified or some other versions, you'll find there that it talks about the elemental spirits of the world that operate in carnal Christians. And you won't come into maturity, you won't come into perfection, you won't come into sonship until you are set free of these elemental spirits. Amen? But the problem is today that a lot of Christians think that what they've got is the ultimate. They think they've arrived. I've come into healing, I've come into deliverance, I've come into this, and that's the end of the road. Brethren, you're just starting. There's a long way to go yet. And you better keep open and pliable to God, or you're going to be left by the wayside. You'll become a part of the trash heap of history. Your bones will be bleaching in the sun, because you were not willing to go all the way with God. Amen? So let me ask you, what is God's judgment upon sin? Demons. Did you know that? God judges sin by unleashing or loosing evil spirits upon you. And many of your demonic problems tonight, brethren, are taking place because you have refused to submit to God. You refuse to obey. You refuse to adjust your life to the Word of God. You refuse to live a life of righteousness and holiness in the sight of God. And that sin has opened the way to an operation or an influx of evil spirits. And those spirits are driving you crazy. You're losing your health, your strength, your courage. You're absolutely being besieged by evil spirits. And all because of what? Sin. Amen? See, sin has to be punished. Sin has to be corrected. God does never take sin lightly. He never dismisses sin. God only forgives sin when you confess it, when you repent. If you ignore your sin, if you hide your sin, the longer you wait, the deeper these evil spirits are going to take root in you. And then it's going to be harder and harder for you to get deliverance. There's another message I've been working on based on Nehemiah chapter 9, where it says that God delivered his people into the hand of the enemy. That's similar to what we're talking about tonight. When you sin, God will deliver you into the hand of the enemy. Amen? And those spirits won't stop hounding you and harassing you until you repent before God. Okay, now let's see what the Bible says about the third point. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 21. Really, I'm not doing justice to this message tonight, but I think you're getting at least the idea, aren't you? Now, verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Therefore, that's an adverb of some kind or another. Maybe it's an adverb of time or occasion. But it says, therefore, when the people saw that their children and their grandchildren were dropping dead, they were dropping everywhere like flies, what did they do? They came to Moses and said, we have sinned. It's just like us, isn't it? We'll ignore our sin. We'll tolerate our sin until unpleasant things begin to happen. And then what we will do? We'll come to our senses. And we'll begin to realize that we have brought this upon ourselves. And then we will come and confess. Why did we wait so long? Don't you think the Spirit of God has been given to convict us? To reprove us? And I'll tell you something, the moment you sin, that very moment the Spirit of God deals with you. He doesn't wait for a week or a month or a year. He begins to deal with you immediately. But what do, ordinarily? Ignore the voice of the Spirit until the voice of the Spirit begins, gets weaker and weaker and weaker, and it dies out. And when that happens, then God sticks those demons on you. And you begin to experience all kind of pain and all kind of anguish, and suddenly you wake up the fact that you have sinned against God. Why wait so long? Why wait so long? That's why the Bible says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. If you got angry during the course of the day, if you had a spat with your wife or with your son, what should you do? Get that thing settled before you go to bed. The Bible says that while men slept, the enemy sowed the terror. And it's during the nighttime that demons are most active. And if you're asleep and there is sin in your heart, if you're angry and you're bitter, you're just open to any kind of evil spirit that might be floating through the air. You're just like a pigeon house. Demons will come in and out at large. They can do whatever they want with you because the sin has opened you up to their presence and to their operation. Amen? Now the Israelites came and said to Moses, Moses, we have sinned. Now, is confession of sin always a sign of repentance?
No.
It's a part of repentance, but it's not the only evidence of that you have repented. Now, I've got a number of instances here in the written down of men or in the Bible that said they had sinned, but they kept on sinning. Cain said he had sinned. Oh, my sin is too great to be forgiven. He recognized that he had sinned. He knew that his sin was great, that was grievous in the sight of God, but he was not willing to give it up. Amen? Did Balaam confess his sin when the angel of the Lord appeared before him with his sword drawn? What did Balaam say? I have sinned. Now it seemed evil to you. I'll turn around and go home. And what did the angel say? Well, you still want to go. Go your way. He got out of the way. He said, okay, keep on. Because he discerned in Balaam's heart that he was just as determined as ever to go and do what he wanted to do. Amen? Did Achan confess his sin after he stole that gold bar, after he stole that Persian rug? What did he say? I have sinned. But did that spare him from death? No. There are many men in the Bible that confess their sins, but they never repented. Amen? See, confession is a step towards repentance. Amen? Now, if I had time tonight, I'd give you all, go into the scripture, and you can see that, first of all, in repentance, there's a conviction of sin. The Spirit of God comes and reproves you. You feel pierced at the heart. You suddenly wake up and realize that you have sinned against God. The Spirit of God makes you aware of your sin, but that's not enough. After conviction comes remorse. Amen? What's remorse? Godly sorrow. You feel sorry for your sin. You feel bad because you have sinned against God. You feel a deep sorrow in your heart for having done that which you knew that was wrong in the sight of God. But is that repentance? Conviction and remorse are not repentance. Then confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen? But that's not enough. Conviction, remorse, confession are not the end. What is the end? What's the proof of the pudding? When you renounce your sin, when you turn your back on your sin, when you give your sin up, that's repentance. Amen? Because it's a change of mind. It's a change of attitude towards sin. How many know Proverbs 28:13 by memory? Can somebody speak it out? We should know these scriptures. I know my scripture in Spanish. I have a little problem reciting it in English. But what does Proverbs 28:13 say? He that covers his sin shall not prosper. We heard today that God wants to prosper spiritually and financially and physically. But if we cover up our sin, we will not prosper. But he that confesses his sin and what? And forsaketh it. And turns away from it. Turns his back towards it. He that confesses and forsakes his sin, he will find mercy. And that's repentance. Amen? When we repent, we are actually appealing to the mercy of God. And how many have read there in James chapter 2, and I think it's verse 15 or 13. Let's look for it. It says that mercy triumphs or rejoices over what? Over judgment. Go there to James chapter 2, verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth or triumphs against judgment. How do we cancel out the divine judgment that weighs heavily upon us or upon our descendants because of our sin? How do we cancel judgment out? By what? By humbling ourselves. By repenting of our sin. Remember that Elijah came to King Achab? Is that his name? Ahab. And he confronted him with his sin. And he said, he decreed judgment upon him and upon his lineage. And when Elijah left the house, what did the king do? Though he was a wicked man, no man had sold himself to do such evil, yet he repented. He humbled himself. He had a contrite heart. He had a repentant heart. And God told Elijah, you go back, go directly back to that man and tell him that because he's humbled himself, the judgment's not going to fall in his day, but in the day of his children. The judgment was postponed. See, when you appeal to God's mercy through repentance, judgment is either postponed or it's canceled out. Amen? Now, what does sin bring upon us? Judgment. God always judges sin. God doesn't judge people. God judges sin. But by judging sin, he has to what? Judge people. Because people sin. How many understand that tonight? Okay? Now, how are we going to cancel out that judgment that weighs heavily upon us and probably upon our entire family lineage? By what? By repenting. By repenting. You have to repent of not only your own sins, but you have to repent of the sins of your ancestors, of your forefathers. Amen? And when we repent sincerely, wholeheartedly, what are we doing? We're paving the way to divine forgiveness and to divine deliverance. Amen? Amen, brother? See, repentance leads to deliverance. Repentance is the key to deliverance. No repentance, no deliverance. You're not in that condition by any fortuitous set of circumstances. You're not a victim. We always consider ourselves victims of our circumstances. We're always trying to blame our mother, grandmother, or somebody else for our sorry condition. Let me tell you something, brother. If we are in the condition we find ourselves presently, we are plagued by evil spirits, we are sick, we are troubled, let me tell you something, it's because we have sinned or we have inherited the effects of the sins of our ancestors. Amen? And how are we going to get rid of those demons? Come on now, how are we going to get rid of those demons? Repent. I tell you, with all the binding and rebuking that's been going on in this camp, everybody here should be rid of all their demons by now. Huh? Every service we're calling out the same names. I've only been here 24 hours, a little bit more, and I've already been in 3 deliverance sessions. Why, brethren, we should be the freest people in the world by now. Huh? Isn't that true? But why do those demons hang on to us like leeches? Like eels? Why do they hang on to us? Why, they have legal grounds. They have legal rights. How are we given the demons the right to invade us and to plague us? How? Through sin. And you can go through 100 or 1,000 deliverances more and still not be free. I tell you, brethren, if we preach more repentance, we wouldn't have to preach so much deliverance. I went to Bible college and seminary out on the West Coast, and I had a teacher who was a smart man, bright, graduate of several theological seminaries. He was a Ph.D., Ph.D., and I don't know how many other D's. And he had the audacity, he had the nerve of standing up in class in what we call the doctrine of salvation. I can't pronounce a lot of words. Soteriology. Is that how you say it? He said, but we don't have to preach the repentance anymore. That was the Jewish doctrine. That was only for the Jews. All we have to preach today is believe. What do we call that? Easy believism. And we've concocted an evangelistic formula because we want to get results. We want to get people that will raise their hand and stand up and come forward. And so we say, how many accept? Do you know that word accept is not in the Bible? Can you show me one verse where we are called to accept God or accept Jesus? It's nowhere. When the Bible says now is the acceptable time, it means now is the time that God will accept us as we are. We are supposed to be accepted of God, not God accepted of us. We are accepted in the Beloved. Amen? The message of the kingdom is repent and believe the gospel. And we left the repent out. And so instead of having a lot of newborn Christians, we've got a lot of stillborn Christians. Got a lot of spiritual fetuses around. Right? Now, I hope that doesn't unnerve you, but it's the truth. In a lot of our fundamental churches, holiness churches, Pentecostal churches, there's a lot of people that think they're saved and say they're saved, but they've never had an experience of salvation. Because when you get saved the right way through faith and through obedience and through repentance, you're going to have a revolutionary change in your life. And this might shock some deliverance people. If you get saved that way through a real dosis of Bible salvation, through faith and repentance, obedience, a lot of those demons will flee the moment you get saved. They won't be able to stand it any longer. Yeah, well, I don't know about the holy roller business. Let's just keep the old-fashioned salvation. A lot of that holy roller business was just a lot of excitement. A lot of just an emotional display. How many believe that? That repentance is essential. Repentance is essential. Not only in salvation, but in deliverance. Now let's read 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. Talking there about the servant of the Lord, that he should be meek, that he should correct, that he should instruct. Now it says, them that oppose themselves. And the original says, them that oppose him, that oppose his ministry. It's talking about people in the church that are rebellious, that they refuse to recognize and submit to his ministry. Amen? Those that oppose. That word oppose is synonymous with the word rebel. Okay? When you oppose a ministry, and I tell you there's people here tonight that are opposing my message. I get the vibes. Not everybody in this building agrees with what I've been teaching about God sending demons. Isn't that true? Come on, be honest with yourself and with God. You've been sitting there resisting, opposing. That's just rebellion. You're a rebellion to the Word of God. Because it differs with what you've traditionally believed. It goes counter to what you've been taught. And so you rebel against it. But what does it say there? That we should be meek, instructing, correcting those that are in rebellion, so that what? That peradventure, God would grant them what? Repentance. Peradventure, perchance. See, that's why I believe that counseling is very important in relationship to deliverance. We can take a person that has a bad attitude, that's in rebellion, and by being patient and meek, we can lead that person to repentance. Why pray for that person till he repents? You're wasting your breath. You'll scream, you'll howl, you'll do everything. Those demons won't even budge. They'll laugh down their sleeve at you. Amen? Now it says, peradventure God will grant them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. To the acknowledgement of the truth of their own sad condition. They'll suddenly wake up to the fact that they're in that condition because they're plagued by evil spirits. And what does verse 26 say? And then they'll recover themselves. And that's a poor translation. The Bible says, and many other translation words use the word escape. They'll come to the senses and be restored to freedom. They'll recover their freedom. Now all this time they've been slaves to what? To evil spirits. The Bible says there that they've been in bondage to Satan. I'm going to trip over my own microphone cord. Okay, just read verse 26. That they might recover themselves from the snare, the trap of the enemy, in which they've been held in bondage. At whose will? At Satan's will. When you rebel, you lose your freedom. And your freedom of choice. You lose the freedom that God has given you to make your own choices and your own decisions. You become a pawn of Satan. You lose your freedom. You are ensnared by Satan, and he can manage you, he can rule you, he can do whatever he wants with you. Amen? Rebels think that they're doing their own thing. They're not doing their own thing, they're doing Satan's thing. Yeah? There's only two major wills in the universe, and what wills are those? God's and Satan's. And all you can do with your own will is incline your will either toward God's will or incline your will toward Satan's will. And when you make your own decisions, actually, you're leaning towards Satan. You are yielding. you're submitting to Satan, because he's the one that has not only rebelled against God, he wants every human being on the face of the earth to rebel against God, Christian and non-Christian. And now see the key to deliverance there in verse 25. Peradventure, God will grant them repentance that they might be delivered, that they might be released, that they might escape from the snare of the enemy. That's why I say that the road to deliverance is repentance. Amen, brethren? And I think instead of calling out demons, sometimes we should start calling out sins. Huh? I think sometimes we should have just a good repentance meeting. Instead of deliverance certain meeting. Where everyone will... I tell you, we'd get 1,000 times more deliverance if tonight we'd open up the meeting and every one of you stood up and confess your sins. Huh? How would you like that? We'd have to expose ourselves. We'd have to denude ourselves. Huh? We'd strip ourselves bare before the congregation, and that's a very painful thing and shameful thing. Huh? Huh? Would you be willing to confess your pride? Pride of looks? Huh? Pride of family? Pride of education? Huh? Pride of spiritual achievement? Spiritual pride? Oh, no. We don't like that. So we just want to go, we just want somebody to get rid of our demons. But we want to hold on to our sins. Hmm? Amen? Boy, this is going longer than I thought. We still haven't gotten to the fourth point, brother. Huh? But I think we're getting the point, aren't we? Huh? See, most cases of demonization are the result of our own willful sin. We've opened ourselves up to evil spirits. By our attitudes, by our words, by our deeds, we've opened ourselves to evil spirits. God has been, we could use this word, forced to send evil spirits. Satan is God's whipping boy. Had you heard that before? Satan is God's whipping boy. Satan many times unwittingly carries out God's judgment upon individuals and families and nations. There's another case I didn't mention tonight, and it's the case of Ahab and Jeroboam. Remember, they were making an alliance and they were going out to war, and God was displeased. God was displeased with Jeroboam because he was making alliance with such a wicked king. And so, Jehoshaphat. And there's a scene in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, the heavenlies are open and you see God sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven are before him and around him, and God says, what are we going to do? And one suggested this, another suggested that, and finally a spirit stood up and he said, I suggest this plan. I will be a spirit of lying. You think a holy angel is going to offer to be any spirit of lying? Huh? It was an evil spirit that was in God's presence. He said, I'll be a spirit of lying. He said, okay, go and do it. He sent him. He offered. He volunteered. But God sent him. Huh? And I'll tell you, there's a lot of spirits in us that have been sent by an act of God. And let me just repeat it and emphasize it. They won't leave till we repent. And God's got to give us a sensitivity towards sin. Amen? God's got to give us a consciousness of sin. Huh? God's got to make us aware of the things that have been the cause, directly or indirectly, of our present condition. And when that happens, then we'll come and say, we have sinned. Now, the Israelites said, we have sinned, and they said to Moses, they had to come to Moses, the man they had in line that they had criticized. They said, now you pray for us. Pray that God will remove these serpents from the camp. Now, did Moses pray for them? Yes. He had a noble heart. He didn't feel spite or revenge. He didn't try to get even with them. He didn't say, well, you rascals, after all you've said about me, I'm not going to pray for you. If I pray for you, I'm going to ask God to kill all of you off. No, he prayed for them. But did God answer Moses' prayer? Huh? Not exactly like they wanted him to. What did they want? They wanted God to remove all the demons. Huh? All the serpents. Did God remove them all? He said no. And that's where the fourth point comes in. Sin remedied. What did God do? He said, if I remove all the serpents, both the good and the bad are going to benefit. And God was going to purge his people. God was going to purge his people of those elements that were always rebelling against him. So what did he do? God made a way out. What was the way? Said Moses, now you make a serpent of brass and place that serpent on a pole and lift the pole in the high strategic part of the camp. Right in the center of the camp so that anybody from any part of the camp can see it. Huh? And so Moses did exactly what God told him. And he fabricated that serpent and placed that serpent on a pole. And the Bible says that any man, when he was bitten of the serpent, all he had to do was what? Something very simple. Was look and receive healing, receive deliverance. This was a look of faith. But brethren, remember this. Faith must be preceded by what? Repentance. Repentance must lead up to faith. I'm going to show you a verse, several verses where repentance must come first before faith. And we're going to wrap this up tonight. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. It says here in verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness and believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe in him. You see that? Ye repented not afterward that ye might believe in him. How can you believe if you haven't repented? You understand that? Repentance prepares the heart for what? For living faith. Amen? That repentance breaks up the fallow ground so that God can sow the seed of faith in our heart. What we call many times faith is nothing else but mental assent, mental agreement. It's credulity instead of faith. Amen? Oh, I have a lot of people come up to me and say, oh, I've got a lot of faith. And I turn to them and I say, if you had a lot of faith, you wouldn't be in that terrible condition you're in. Huh? But they confuse faith with something else, like mental agreement or mental consent. Faith, it cannot be birthed in a heart that is full of sin. Sin will destroy faith. Amen? Sin will cancel out faith. Sin will short-circuit faith. So sin has to be gotten rid of before faith can be born in our hearts. Amen? That's why when Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, and deliverance is a part of the message of the kingdom, or isn't that true? Deliverance. If I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, then what? The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So deliverance is part of the message of the kingdom. Deliverance is one of the benefits of the kingdom of God. And how do we enter into the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is drawn nigh, therefore what? Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and then exercise your faith. If you don't repent, you're not going to be able to exercise your faith. Your faith will be so weak and so puny that it won't rise above the ceiling. And all the benefits of Calvary, from salvation to healing and deliverance, are the result, the direct result of faith, of exercising living faith in the living Christ. Amen? You don't get deliverance unless you have faith. A lot of people come to a meeting like this to see if perchance they can get some deliverance. They're just trying out to see if perchance they can get free. Brother, that's not faith. You should come to a meeting like this not only determined but convinced that you're going to get help, that you're going to get deliverance. That's faith. You should come to a meeting like this so sure of what the scripture says that you know that when you leave this meeting, you're going to leave here without those demons that have plagued you for decades. Amen?
See, faith is only born in a repentant heart. And I can show many, many scriptures. You can see it in Acts chapter 20 when Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elder. He said, preaching repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many, many scriptures that show that repentance must come first. And if there's no repentance, there's no true faith. Now, the Bible says that Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. And the serpent in the desert, according to John chapter 3, is symbolic of what? Of the crucified Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him. See, not only will be saved, but healed, delivered, will enter into all the benefits of Christ's redemptive work on Calvary. But before we can exercise faith, we can believe, we can have Bible faith, we're going to have to repent.
And the reason why we're emphasizing repentance, brethren, is because we've been fed faith for years. But it's been to no avail. It just hasn't worked. And I've traveled this country from coast to coast and border to border. The Lord's opened so many doors in so many different groups and denominations. It's amazing. Because I preach from the dead, dry fundamentals all the way to the radical Pentecostals, the wild-eyed Pentecostals. I get invited to all these groups, discipleship, divine order, deliverance, sonship, and everything. And one thing I've found, brethren, is that a lot of lives have been shattered by the faith message. Because they've tried to exercise their faith, and they've claimed, and they've believed, and they've confessed, and they've agreed, and they've done everything they can to get what they need, and nothing happened. Why? Because repentance has been lacking. Amen? Okay? Now, who is the answer to any of our needs? Physical, moral, emotional, or spiritual? Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. And he was lifted up high. He was lifted above the earth. He was lifted on the cross. He became a curse so that we could become a blessing. Amen? He died so that we could live. Now, this is the message the world needs to hear. That's why in Isaiah 45:22 it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's the look of faith. Amen? We have to look upon Christ as he suffered and died in our behalf, as our substitute, as our representative. He died so that we could live a life of abundance and victory and freedom through Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. That's why in many places of the Bible, for example, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Colossians 3 says that we shouldn't set our eyes on the things below, but we should set our eyes on the things above where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. We should put our eyes on whom? Oh, not on Brother Glenn Miller. Not on Brother Dempsey Thomas. Not on Brother Norman Parrish. Not on Brother Walter Pittman. Or Willard Pittman.
Howard
Pittman. Boy, I'm having more trouble with you, brother. I don't know what's happened. I hope it doesn't happen. I'm embarrassed. Maybe you're going to have to pray for me. But listen to this. Don't put your eyes on any man. Put your eyes on Jesus. And if you meet the requirements that God has laid down, what are those requirements? Huh? Repentance. And this could mean that you must confess your sin not only before God, but before whom? Before God's people. The Bible says, confess your sin one to another and pray one for another that ye might be healed. And that word healing includes salvation, healing, deliverance, and preservation of life. The whole package. There are certain sins that you must confess, privately or publicly, as the Spirit would lead you. If your sin has been committed in private and no one knows about it, you can go to a man of God and confess it. And he might say, well, you've got to confess this to your wife. You'll have to confess this to your church. For brethren, there are sins that have to be brought out into the open, no matter what the shame and the pain might be. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why the churches today are plagued by evil spirits is the lack of correction and discipline in the body of Christ. There's a tolerant attitude towards sin, and people sin and get away with it. No one wants to exercise proper authority and put somebody on probation. When was the last time you heard of anybody being put on probation in your church, in your fellowship, in your group? Huh? We accept abortion, we accept divorce, we accept everything. Everything's condoned today in the body of Christ. No wonder the church is demonized. Amen? But when sin is confessed and sin is corrected, let me tell you something, brethren, the results are what? Freedom. How many want to come into freedom? How many want to be delivered of all those things that are troubling you and harassing you and plaguing you and oppressing you? Well, brethren, what you need is repentance. And why don't we start tonight? Amen? Why don't we start tonight? I don't have to place words in your mouth. You people are Christians. Some of you have been Christians for many years. Why am I going to put you through a mechanical prayer until you repeat this prayer with me? You know how to pray. Let the Spirit of God come upon you. Let the Spirit of God reprove you. Let the Spirit of God convict you. Let the Spirit of God pierce you through. Let the Spirit of God deal with your sin. Let the Spirit of God point out your sin. Let the Spirit of God dig up that sin that you've hidden in the closet. Let the Spirit of God make you aware of the sin that has opened the door to all these miserable spirits that today are causing you defeat and sorrow. Huh? Let the Spirit of God deal with you tonight. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and do His work in our midst. Amen? The Bible says that when He, the Comforter, should come, the Spirit of Truth shall come, He shall reprove the world of sin. And brethren, if the world needs to be reproved of sin, how much more the church needs to be reproved of sin? Now, I'm not the one to accuse you. I'd be usurping the place of the Holy Ghost. I have no right to stand up here and point fingers at anybody. If I pointed one finger at you, I'd have to point four at myself. Amen? But you know, there's someone here present tonight that not only can do that, but must do that. And that's the Holy Spirit. We talk about the power, and we talk about the glory, and we talk about the marvelous presence of the Spirit of God in our meetings. I'll say to you, brethren, when the Spirit is truly manifested in our midst, there'll be more brokenness before God. There'll be more humility before God. There'll be more repentance before God. There'll be more contrition before God. Amen? Do you believe that? Yeah. A lot of people confuse God's blessing with the giddiness that sometimes we have in our meetings. We jump, we laugh, we cry, we clap, and we dance, and we say, that's the glory. Brethren, if we need a revival in America, the revival will come how? When God's people really get down to business with God and repent. Amen? Now just close your eyes before the Lord. I don't know what the Lord wants to do tonight. But I wouldn't waste my time rebuking demons. That's been done all week. That's been done all week. Night after night, meeting after meeting. We've been binding, rebuking, commanding. We've been trying to drag those demons up. And they just won't move. They're holding out for dear life. Why? Because we've got to get things right with God. Why don't we start tonight? Why don't we finish this year 1984, wiping the slate clean. Amen? Getting rid of the sins not only committed this week, this month, this year, but the sins that have been committed down through our past life. Let the Lord speak to you tonight. The Lord doesn't do it. There's no use me trying to do it. We need to experience sorrow. We need to experience remorse. The Bible says that godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. Amen? Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. We need to cry out to God for our sins. I had an unusual experience recently. We were driving down a highway, and a young man was riding with me in the car, and he began to open his heart and tell me about his past, sinful past, about all the ugly incidents in his past life, about adultery and abortion and a lot of things that had gone on. And suddenly the Spirit of God began to deal with him. He began to cry. I was driving 60 miles an hour. And when he began to cry, he began to rebuke. And we had a deliverance session right there on the highway, driving 60 miles an hour. I didn't pull over. I didn't stop. I just kept on driving and kept on rebuking. Now, why did he get a good dose of deliverance? Why do you think he did? Because he repented. I tell you, brother, when we repent, those demons will come tumbling out of us. They'll be so desperate to leave that you'll just have to get out of the way and let them flee. But I get so tired of just binding and binding, rebuking and rebuking and getting nowhere. Let the Spirit of God deal with you tonight. I think we need to have a self-examination. Now, I don't think in some morbid sort of introspection. Let the Spirit of God point out those areas of your life that you haven't cleaned up. Let the Spirit of God point out those sins that you have harbored and that you have loved. Sin, especially of a carnal nature, is pleasurable. And it's so hard to become convinced that it's sinful. Because it gives us a certain measure of pleasure and joy. At least earthly joy. Just let the Spirit of God speak to you. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Not only to fill you and anoint you, but to reprove you of anything that is disagreeable to God. God might be wroth. God might be angry. God might be displeased. God might be provoked to wrath by the way you have lived, by your thoughts, your words, your actions, your attitudes, your relationships, whatever it might be. Get rid of it tonight. Determine within your own heart and mind that you're going to get rid of that thing that's blighting your life. It's not the demons that are destroying you. It's your sin that's destroying you. Do you hear that? Not the devil that's destroying you. It's your sin that's destroying you. Because if it wasn't for your sin, the devil wouldn't have any access to your inner man. There'd be no way he could creep in. There'd be no way he could sneak in. So get rid of your sins, and by getting rid of your sins, you're going to get rid of your demons. You might need ministry. You might have to be prayed for. I'm not dismissing that. But I'll tell you something, brethren, when we get right with God, we're setting the stage for a fast and full deliverance. I don't see why people have to go on for 2 and 3 and 4 years being delivered. Meeting after meeting, workshop after workshop, the same demons cropping up, the same demons screaming and kicking and thrashing and carrying on something terrible. Just let God do what He wants to do. Why don't we get on our knees? I think that'd be a better position. Just let's get on our knees. Just pretend tonight that you're alone with God. You're in the presence of the Almighty God. You're in the presence of the high and lofty God, the Holy God of Israel. Just open your heart to Him. And just say, Lord, for the first time in my life, I want to be honest. I want to be sincere. Just take off your mask. Take off your disguise. Take off your robe of self-righteousness. And strip yourself, bare yourself before God tonight. Call your sins out by name. Don't just say, Lord, I've sinned. He knows that. But just mention your sins by name. Enumerate them. List them. Confess them just the same way you committed them. One by one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be honest. To be frank. Yes, Lord. Give us a good dosis of repentance tonight, Lord. Break us. Reprove us. Humble us in your presence. God's doing a deep work in many lives tonight. We're setting the stage for a real act of deliverance. It might be tonight, it might be tomorrow. In God's appointed time, we're going to have deliverance. And people that have been seeking for deliverance for months, for years, are going to come into deliverance before this camp is over. If and when you set the record straight with God. Hallelujah. Blessed Jesus. Hallelujah. Now obey the Spirit of God. If there's something you need to settle, you need to correct between you and some brother or sister that's here present tonight, get off your knees and go over to that person. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for cleansing. Your mother, your father's here. Your husband, your wife is here. Your pastor is here. If there's something standing in the way, just go up to that person and ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Just do it. If you've rebelled against your parents, if you've rebelled against your husband, if you've rebelled against your pastor or your group leader, why don't you go up to them tonight and say, I repent. Make amends. Determine in your own life and heart that this is never going to happen again. It's never going to be repeated. That's it. There's several that are beginning to obey God. Why don't you obey God too? The Spirit of God might lead you to stand up tonight and voice your repentance. Speak out and confess that you've been a hypocrite. Speak out and confess that you pretended to be a spiritual Christian or a faithful Christian. You obey the Spirit. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Be prudent. Be wise in what you say. But you obey the Spirit of God and you'll get relief. The Spirit of God might be telling you there's something that you must do something. And it's going to take a lot of grace and courage to do it. But the Bible says that His grace is sufficient for every situation. And if the Lord is directing you to make public confession tonight, do it. In the name of Jesus, do it. Don't hold back from God. Just do it in the name of Jesus Christ. He will honor you for it. Do whatever the Spirit of God is telling you to do. And you'll feel a heavy little cloud of oppression lift. That burden will go. All the guilt, all the condemnation you've been under for months, for years, will suddenly dissipate if you'll obey the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. There's a difference between confessing the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing sin. Tonight, what the Lord wants us to do is confessing our sin. You've already confessed Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. Now get up and confess your sin if the Spirit of God directs you to do that. I'm not forcing anybody. I'm not coercing anybody to do it. You just do what God tells you to do. Make things right. Make amends. You might have to make a telephone call tonight. You might have to write a letter. You might have to make a trip. Who knows what God's going to ask you to do? Yes. The road out of rebellion is through obedience. If the Lord is telling you to get in touch with somebody that you've maligned, somebody that you've rebelled against, you better do that. There will be no deliverance till you obey the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This camp can be the most glorious deliverance camp ever if everybody within the sound of my voice would obey the Spirit of God. Whatever the requirement might be. A call, a letter, a visit, an interview. Yes. Just do what God tells you to do. The Lord bless you. The Lord release you from those sins. The Bible says that God has given us power to forgive sin, to remit sin. We do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's bitterness and resentment. There's anger in your heart. Confess it before Lord and before the Lord, and if necessary, before the people. You just obey God, and you'll be released tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins will be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll be spotless before God and blameless before God tonight if you obey the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Several have obeyed God. And I know it's going to be a night of victory for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, you are released from that guilt and shame in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive His forgiveness. Receive His cleansing. Let the Spirit of God apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your soul. Hallelujah. Things are happening around the building. God moves in mysterious ways, in quiet ways, His wonders to perform. Yes. I think there's some wives that should get up and approach their husbands and ask for forgiveness. And there's husbands that should approach their wives and ask for forgiveness for their bad attitude, for their domineering attitude. Yes. You know what's wrong. You don't have to be told. Yes, the Lord purify your soul, my brother, your mind. May the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ flow through you tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is dealing with people here tonight. That's it. Yes. That is a sin. You know, to take the tithe and use it for your own purposes is a sin before God. You're released from that sin in the name of Jesus. May God give you strength and courage to obey what the Word explicitly says about giving, so that you'll open the doorway of prosperity and wealth in the name of Jesus. That's it. Renounce it, brother. Renounce it. Just go and destroy whatever cigarettes you have. Flush them down the commode. Throw them in the garbage. Determine in the name of Jesus that nicotine spirit, that cigarette spirit's not going to have a hold on you any longer. Be free from that filthy habit in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is an unusual service. The way it's turned out was not premeditated. We didn't plan it this way. But you let the Lord deal with you, speak to you, whatever it might be. Hallelujah. A lot of people are getting victory tonight. Yes, we're going to have a good shouting time in a moment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can claim victory. We can pronounce victory in our own lives in Jesus' name. Bless you. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Amen. God bless you, sister. Let the humbling influence of the Holy Ghost enter your life, that you may be molded into the image of Christ, meekness, humility. Hallelujah. Blessed Jesus. Hallelujah. You might be led of the Spirit of God tonight to go and pray for somebody. Why don't you do that tonight? There's somebody that might need your prayers. Why don't we all stand and let the Spirit of God lead you to someone that you know has been going through a difficult time. Yes. Let's pray one for another. That's what the Bible says. Pray one for another that you might be healed. If there's been repentance, if there's been confession tonight, now's the time that we can pray for one another. Just walk up to somebody. Let the Spirit of God show you whom. Somebody that might need a loving embrace, that might need a word of encouragement, that might need that prayer right at this moment to be released from something that's been clinging to them. Why don't you walk up to somebody and put your arm around that person? Yes, identify with that person. That's it. Don't stand there still. Don't stand like a... Don't wait for somebody to come up to you. Why don't you go to somebody That's it. Young and old. Some of the children can go up to the elderly and vice versa. That's it. Just minister love. Minister grace. Minister forgiveness. Minister cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just go up and hug somebody. Bless somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring release to their soul. People are troubled. Yes. Sometimes there's shyness. Sometimes there's fear. Sometimes there's apprehension. Just walk up to that person. There's several need help here tonight. Why don't you go? Minister to that person. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Yes, there's several people standing by that need some help. Let the Spirit of God lead you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for you and your ministry.
Glory. Let that burden lift. Let that deep cloud of oppression be dispelled upon your life tonight. Be free, be free, be free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Free of guilt. Free of shame. Free of rejection. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Be free. Glory. Glory. People are getting deliverance tonight. Might be in a different manner, but who cares? Who cares how the demons come out as long as they come out? That's the important thing. Blessed Jesus. The service is dismissed, so just go around blessing people, fellowshipping, helping each other in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.